The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
Jesus came and introduced a new system. For the kingdom of God is a government that's set up to meet every need that a person would have, independent of what's happening in this earthly economy. Therefore, I say to you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. No longer do you have to bear the weight of your own provision. I'm telling you, you don't have to earn a living. Your living has already been earned by Jesus Christ. So your labor is not in overtime, it's in the Word of God. Everything changes when the kingdom comes. And the kingdom has come inside of you. This teaching is going to shift everything. Yes. How much belonged to Adam in the beginning? All the earth. You read it. You read it, folks. It's in the book. All the earth. Now that Adam sinned, Satan took charge of it. Jesus is called the last Adam. How much did he get back? He hung on the cross and used the same word over there in Genesis chapter 2. It is, come on, finished. Question. Somebody said, well, it all belongs to Jesus. Well, look at what Romans says in verse 8 in chapter 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Are you the child of God?
Yes.
You are not a servant, you're a son. Son means mature offspring. Look at the next verse. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with who?
Christ.
I was speaking this week over in South Carolina. And I was speaking there. It was a word explosion. And I was speaking, and then Brother Copeland comes up after me and begins to speak. Before he started speaking, he called Chaplain Downing up, because Chaplain Downing is running the meeting. Major Downing, he's still on active duty in the Army, and he's running the meeting. And a lot of military people are there, too, and so forth. It's a packed meeting. And so Brother Copeland called him up. He said, God is telling me that whatever you raise towards the budget of this meeting, then I'm supposed to match it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. When I tried to leave IBM, God said, I want you to go full time. I'd set a date, the date started coming. I'd try to step out. Something said, baby, need a new pair of shoes. Whoop. Let me set another date. I did that 3 or 4 times until I meditated. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. No man that's left house, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, land, jobs for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Now watch this. I meditated that until the light came on. When your light comes on, your struggle ceases. See, you might be in here right now wondering, how is the pastor saying you can work at Burger King and send all your kids to Harvard with nuts, so forth and so on? I'm saying it because the light is on. I'm trying to get your light on. When your light is on, your struggle ceases. So that light came on, I called my wife, said, baby, I'm leaving this company. Whew! Boom, gone. Why? I saw more in front of me than I did behind me. I wasn't leaving a job, I was sowing it. The light came on. Until light is on, a person can read this Bible till they can't read it anymore, they're still going to struggle. That's how you can tell the light is not on. So what happened next? Brother Copeland says so. God is telling me whatever you raise in this meeting, then I'm the matcher. I understand the light's on, see. So he doesn't see himself losing something. He sees himself gaining something. You can't obey God and lose. It's impossible. It's impossible, see. What happened next? He said, somebody just gave me an Escalade, cherry red Escalade. It's yours. 2014. Slapped him right on the chest. Boom, it's yours. And when he did that, I'm sitting down there. I'm sitting there, and then Sister Gloria is beside me, and then First Lady, his chaplain's wife, Inez, is sitting there next to you. When he slapped him on the chest, boom, it's like a spring shot her up out of that chair. Who? Thank you, Jesus! I mean, she had a party right there around that chair. Now, wait a minute. This first thing my mind said, he wasn't talking to her. You saw it. He was talking to Al. He was talking to Chaplain Downey. He wasn't talking to her. Or was he? Come on now. Come on. You got to go with me. You got to go with me. See, Chaplain kind of, wow. But he didn't do what she did. She came loose. Y'all know what I mean by that? Now, wait a minute. She didn't see keys, title, didn't even see a picture of the Escalade. But she shouted. And I'm telling you, God says, you have a more sure word of prophecy when he said it in his word, that's mine. Glory to God! You ought to be shouting all over the place. He said he's giving you houses that you didn't even fulfill. Season. He's given you free Escalades. He's given you houses. Come on. He's given you good health. Come on. Religion just comes to church. Not excited about any of it. That Escalade is yours. Man, when he hit him, boom, she jumped up out of that chair because she's a joint heir with him. Everything Jesus got, you shout about it. I remember David. We were coming back from Minnesota. He was a little kid. He was coming back from Minnesota, and he was riding in the front seat, and my wife was in the back, and we had stopped to get some sandwiches or something, and I had some juice or pop or something like that as I was eating my sandwich, driving, and, you know, all was cool. And so he ate his right quick and drunk all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving, but I see this hand move over in this cup holder and begin to get my, I said, whoa, son, what you doing? He said, I'm just getting a little sip. I said, well, ask somebody. No. When he goes to school, he doesn't say, Daddy got a new car. That ain't in his vocabulary. That's our new car. When are you going to join the family? Yeah. Well, really, when are you going to receive See, unless you receive it by faith, God can't give it to you. I said, look at that. She did a dance for a while around that chair. She received it. How many people need to receive their healing? You need to receive your victory. You need to receive that new job. He said they didn't get in to the promised land because of unbelief. They wouldn't receive it. Nah, that's too good to be true. Escalate, nah, that's too good to be true. Now, the good thing about it is they didn't have to pay for it. Why? It's been paid for. So stop measuring his promises through provision. How long can I work to get this? And I'm telling you right now that this stuff is already yours. If you don't believe it, I can show you all the scriptures to back it up. Everything in this earth is yours. Jesus got it all back. He said, it's finished. Now all you have to do is receive it. The church should be the biggest landowners in any city. Biggest real estate owners in any city. So let's just see if we close this out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 again. Verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, or the body than raiment? Now, what is he saying now? He is saying, wait. Oh, hold it. Don't run after these things. These things are designed to run after you. You are the highest creation of God. Everything in it is made to serve you. Let's come all the way down. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God shall clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? Faith. I want you to underline that, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought. Now let's go to that, and let's go into Amplified in verse 31. Let's go and see what it says. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles or heathen wish and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you have need of them all. Watch this. But seek, aim at and strive after, first of all his kingdom. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of what? Doing and being right. Now, we're going to go through this the next time. What are the steps for doing right? How do you get from God what he's already put up for you in a climate like this one, and one that is involved in an economic downturn? How do you get yours? Because it doesn't affect you. You're in a kingdom with unlimited provision. Jesus came to restore us again. So he came to get it all back, because it all belonged to you in the first place. Because what you've got coming is not based on your salary. Amen. It's based on what Jesus did for you. I'm only telling you all of this because that you shouldn't be enslaved by a system that you waiting on a paycheck.
Amen.
That paycheck is not your God. Your God is Jehovah. Jesus is your paymaster. John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him, and he said to Philip, "Now where can we buy bread that these may eat?" Watch the answer. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them to take a little. Whoa! Whoa! What kind of answer is that? That ain't what I asked you. I asked you, where can I get some bread? And you gonna tell me how long I got to work. That's not answering my question. Now, I want you to see this here, because this whole idea of Jesus and what he's doing, he's teaching them how to operate like he's going to operate. And he's constantly teaching them how to do this. Over in Mark chapter 8, he says this, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than how much?" One loaf. How much you think Jesus needed? One loaf. I'm only telling you this is because you're under a covenant. I'll cover this next time. And a covenant, you can't cry and get the harvest. Come on. A covenant, you can't pray long enough for him to give you something. Come on. A covenant, you can't be needy enough for this thing to break. No, it won't break. A covenant only operates through practice. I've got to step out and trust God. I gotta trust God with what I've got. Here I've got. Watch this. Now here's something. Come on, Doc, Minister Weston. Now here I am. I got a care. And I'm carrying that care, and this thing is heavy. But I have read in this book, I can cast all my care over on him, because he what? Cares for me. Put it up there, 1 Peter 5:7. So I've got to do this. Now, this is a part of the covenant. This is the way this money thing works. Because if you don't master money, it'll master you. It'll tell you to lie. It'll tell you to work 3 jobs. It'll tell you money, because everybody's filtering everything through this. Now, what happens? I take my care and I cast it over on him. I'm just playing now. I just cast it over on him. Now check it out. Who's got the care? Can he fix my care if I don't give it to him? No, because he'd be violating my authority. You've got to put it under his jurisdiction. And you got that money in your pocket, it won't multiply. You've got to give it to the multiplier. And as long as it's in your pocketbook, he won't touch it. Now, you got to trust him enough to give it back to you, and not only give it back to you, solve the problem. In Jesus' name. And he'll solve any problem that you've got. Turn it over to him and just take your hands off now and watch it work, because he's going to work in a strange way that you ain't never seen it work before. God's got a million ways to bring your cousin to Christ. This is a covenant. It's a contract. I do my part, you do your part. Your part is to give. And once you do, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And I'm telling you, when we were buying this shopping mall, I said, "God, how are we going to get it? We missed one closing. What are we going to do now?" He said, "What do you think you're going to do?" See, Jesus did taught on this, and then he stood by to see what they're going to do. He said, "Okay, feed them." And he's going to see what they're going to do. How are they going to think? They were going to think like that old thinking that they just came out of, that stinking thinking. And Jesus said, to him, 200 penny worth is not sufficient, that everyone will take a little. Now watch this. So what they're going to do, they're going to say, I'll work for 8 months. Now, if they work for 8 months, they're going to have to leave their assignment. So they're going to have to leave their purpose and go work for 8 months to get enough provision so that everybody can take a little. Somebody say, stretch it. I don't know whether you dealt with Kool-Aid before, but I was brought up in the South. And in the South, you get some Kool-Aid sometimes, you're trying to stretch it. You come on now, you got it so Kool-Aid until it didn't cool down, and it tastes like water. It's not God, because you done stretched it too much. And I'm telling you, we got a stretch mentality. We got a couch here that is a couch. We done put plastic on it for 4 times, and what we're trying to do, we're trying to stretch its longevity. We're trying to make it so this couch that's supposed to wear out in 3 years, that we stretch it and make it last for 30 years. I don't need you to stretch anything, saith the Lord. God said, I got plenty of couches already paid for your little old house. And you come in and you want to get them all, you know, after you finish a loaf of bread, you save the little thing that you twisted with. Got all them little things saved. Save all the bags. Save all. Come on. Come on now. I'm stretching now. I'm stretching. I got to make sure I have enough. No, my friend, when you don't work, God will work. In other words, if you rest, God can take care of it. No, no. You're going to have more than enough. Come on now. Let that couch wear out. Let people sit comfortable on that couch. That plastic is so hard. You can't even sit your behind on it for over an hour. That thing is so hard. Take that plastic off that couch. Sit down on that thing. Wear it out. Go buy another one. Praise God and put it in you. Now, that's not enough that everyone will take a little. See? What did he say? He said, now there's a lad here with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves of bread. Jesus said, we got that much? He said, bring it to me. Well, that's the next thing you got to do. Figure out what you got, and then what? Bring it to me. You got to give it to God. Because if it never crosses over into his jurisdiction, he cannot touch it. Try prayer. Somebody goes to pray. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you what? Receive them, and you shall have. Father, I pray, and I pray. Boom, I believe I receive it. Boy, I sure hope God answered that prayer, man. I sure hope you never gave it to him, and it never gets answered. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, we were supposed to go out of here to Midway to South Carolina. What happened? Something happened to the airline system, the center, and so forth. Somebody didn't sabotage or cut the wires and fire and so forth. Nothing was flying. They told us we're supposed to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. Call back at 10 o'clock. We'll tell you how things are. Here's what I said. I called up my people and said, we leave it at 9. See, I knew if I left after 9 and left much later, I'll be late for my appointment when I'm supposed to speak. So what happened? After I hung the phone up, I got a call. Here's what my people say. Pastor, get here quick. They tell me we got a window of opportunity here. I said, I wouldn't doubt it. Praise God. What happened? I got there. We cranked engine. Poof! Took off and flew about 5,000 feet for almost 45 minutes to get out of the center, and then boom, went on up and landed down there, and I preached. Now it's time to come back yesterday. And I got there, and they said, Pastor, they just informed us it's a 5-hour delay. I said, crank the engines. We about to get out of here. Come on. See, when I said that, all of a sudden, we filed to South Bend, Indiana, and on the way to South Bend, somebody in the control tower said, hey, look like you can come on in the Midway. Just come on in. Now, listen, I didn't sit there, but I casted my care. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. Jesus came and introduced a new system. For the kingdom of God is a government that's set up to meet every need that a person would have, independent of what's happening in this earthly economy. Therefore, I say to you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. No longer do you have to bear the weight of your own provision. I'm telling you, you don't have to earn a living. Your living has already been earned by Jesus Christ. So your labor is not in overtime, it's in the Word of God. Everything changes when the kingdom comes. And the kingdom has come inside of you.
Step into the door of divine provision and experience a supernatural rest with an unlimited increase in every area of your life. In Pastor Winston's life-changing teaching, A New Way of Living. To order on CD or DVD, contact us online at billwinston.org or by phone at 1-800-711-9327. Everything changes when the kingdom comes. Your labor for divine provision is not in overtime. It is in the Word of God. Now is your time for a new way of living. Order A New Way of Living today.
Well, today's teaching, A New Way of Living, is part of a four-disc series. Now, the purpose of this message is to teach every believer a new way of living. I'm talking about an open door to supernatural provision. Now, important point that you want to remember is this. Once in the kingdom of God, your salary is no longer supposed to be your income. No company or job can pay you enough to live like God plans for you to live. I better say that again. No company or job can pay you enough to live like God plans for you to live. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus says this, therefore, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. And then verse 26 says, behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? So God has you as his highest creation. Now, if he'll take care of the birds, he'll take care of the lilies of the field, he'll really take care of you. So when you get born again, now you have unlimited potential and inexhaustible provision. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Well, this is Bill Winston saying we love you. Until next time, keep walking by faith.